A city is stronger together. So let's hear from the business and community leaders that keep Milwaukee on the upswing. Presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now here's the host that's always on the upswing, WTMJ's Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Welcome to the upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. As always, a big thank you to the good, community-minded people at Horicon Bank. Innovators and business leaders, community builders, shaping Milwaukee's future. That's what we do on the upswing today. I'm really excited. Two wonderful guests, just good people doing good things in the community. First guest is Michael Halstead. Michael is an entrepreneur and leader at Fork Farms, a Wisconsin-based company creating hydroponic growing systems that are not only empowering schools, but working with nonprofits and communities to grow fresh produce anywhere, anytime. Michael has a great story, touches on kind of all the corners of civic and entrepreneurial life, food access, technology innovation, civic leadership. He worked at the Greater Milwaukee Committee and UWM earlier in his career, and even a little bit of public art. He was one of the co-leaders of the Light the Hone project. So we're going to dig into all of that and explore how purposeful entrepreneurship can transform a city and I think an entire country. Then we're going to welcome back another passionate Milwaukeean, our good friend Steve Glynn from Experience Milwaukee. Steve was recently in Phoenix helping uncover what Milwaukee's tech scene is missing. He found a ton of innovation and inspiration through, yes, baseball. Got a tour of American Family Fields in Phoenix. Got some insight as to what the Brewers are doing technology-wise at spring training this year. He's a true entrepreneur, recently learned some deep lessons, and he stepped away from a venture. We're going to talk to him about that. So I'm excited to get an update as to all things Experience Milwaukee when Steve Glynn joins us. But coming up next, innovation through farming with Fork Farms, Michael Halstead. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We are honored to be joined in studio by Michael Halstead. Michael is the Executive Vice President of Impact Partnerships at Fork Farms. Michael, thanks for taking time out of your day to join us.
Yeah, good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So your story, which really captivates me, you touch on so many corners of civic and entrepreneurial life.
Sure.
Food access and technology innovation, civic leadership. Played a role at Light the Hone that maybe we'll talk about later, but I want to really get into Fork Farms. Kind of give us your quick elevator pitch, if you will, for the company you're working for now.
Yeah, sure. So at Fork Farms, we consider ourselves a food access technology company, which is kind of a fancy way of saying we build hydroponic growing equipment. And if you're not familiar with the theory of hydroponics, it's basically we grow plants in nutrient-infused water. So no soil. It's intended to be indoor farming. But the really amazing thing about Fork Farms that drew me to the company in the first place is, you know, we're not there pitching executives in a Kroger boardroom about how we can save them 10 cents on a pound of lettuce. We're thinking about how do we really create healthy food options that are more accessible to people around the country and around the world. Because we do believe that fresh food is a right in that regard. And so we spend our time in schools, in hunger relief organizations, in food pantries, implementing our technology to help people have a better experience and a better relationship with their food, but also to make that food more accessible.
So it seems like a big part of your why here is you're anchoring that civic engagement component to the business, right? Mm-hmm. That business and community are both driving together. Obviously, there's a profit motive at the company.
Of course.
Of course,
yes.
There always is.
Talk
about that why in terms of that engagement on the civic level.
You know, everything that I've tried to do in my career has been focused around impact, whether it was my time at UWM or the Greater Milwaukee Committee or lighting bridges with friends or whatever. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see that the work I was putting into things was helping people, was having a positive impact on people or the community or both. And Fork does that, but it sort of takes it to the next level. I can go beyond Milwaukee, beyond Wisconsin, and really ensure that that impact occurs. And so that was a real driver for me and is a driver for all of us at Fork Farms.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about scaling and growing the business. Mm-hmm. So Wisconsin-based business started here.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of well-funded vertical farming companies through the years, right?
Yeah.
Some have struggled, some have succeeded, some have gone under. That's the state of business, right?
It is.
But let's talk about what you're doing a little differently and maybe what some of the other players in the space have gotten wrong.
Yeah. You know, I think the important distinction is when we think about the industry, you have the growers and then you have the people that enable the growing, the manufacturers. That's us. We're the technology people that we sell to the people who want to grow, right? So we're not actually running farms necessarily ourselves. But the industry has kind of gotten a little bit of a bad rap over the years because a lot of these, you know, in some cases, multi-billion dollar large-scale farms, your Bowery's, your Plenty's, have you know, attracted sort of tech investment level, you know, investment only to fail within a couple of years. And a lot of that is because so much was put into the technology, a lot of bespoke technology, automation, AI, which is great.
Right.
But all that does is it drives the unit cost, the unit economics up. And when at the end of the day, we're still talking about a commodity item. You're still talking about lettuce and basil that you're competing with traditional farming at, you know, a couple bucks a pound.
So the point of difference is it relationships with farmers and food and tech? Like, where is that true point of difference in terms of the business and where you want to take it?
Yeah. So for us, it's that we've developed a technology that lowers the cost of growing food. Those unit economics now get competitive. We've taken a lot of the unnecessary technology out of the picture and focused on growing high-quality food. The other thing I'll say, too, is that there's a market education component to this, right? So what we're used to getting in the grocery store is not the quality of food that we're growing in our equipment. We're growing much higher quality food, denser nutrient food that commands a better price. This is more like the sort of food that you might buy in a farmer's market than you're going to buy in the shelves of a Pick and Save.
And talk that through. So the Flex Micro, is that a product? And just if I walk in and see the farms, what does it look like?
Yeah.
What do I kind of taste and smell when I walk into a farm?
Yeah. You smell lettuce. So we have a kind of a product line. They all have, you know, Flex in the title. So Flex Farm is our flagship product. That's where the company got started. It's like the size of a small refrigerator. It's about 9 square feet. That thing can produce anywhere from 25 to 27 pounds of food every 28 days. So it's a workhorse, right?
Okay.
And when you talk about leafy greens, culinary herbs, they're not heavy things.
And what's the human touch on that then in terms of someone administering that?
Very straightforward. So we're talking maybe 10, 15 minutes a week of checking the nutrients in the water, making sure everything's running correctly. And then towards the end, you harvest, you clean the unit, and you start all over again. That's why our primary market for these has been K-12 schools. You know, we've got third graders running these things without any issue. It's like the next generation's version of the classroom hamster. You know, they're all taking their part in managing the farm and growing the food. And so that's generally what you see across the board. Our enterprise product is really the kind of the impressive thing, in my opinion. That looks like a giant, like, library rack of growing. It's 9 feet long, 9 feet tall, and 3 feet wide. And we can stack them in like library racks or like data center shelves, right? And so when you walk into an enterprise farm, you're just surrounded by plant life and by machines that are growing it. So it's loud, it smells like food. It's an incredible experience in those instances.
Michael Halstead is the Executive Vice President of Impact Partnerships at Fork Farms. Michael, when we come back, I want to talk more about food insecurity, food deserts, kind of the new food pyramid in the country and how you're working each and every day to solve challenges in the system. This is The Upswing, and you're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Michael Halstead is the Executive Vice President of Impact Partnerships at Fork Farms. Michael, I know when I was in elementary school, like, you know, the lunch line, I was never quite sure what I was going to get. You know, I loved having the, quote, hot lunch, and I think all kids do. Yeah. But you want access to real healthy food. You know, whether you're a parent or a kid, like, you want that in the lunch line. How is your technology working directly with school districts to kind of not only, make schools healthier, but address some food insecurity issues that are real across the country?
Yeah, great question. And, you know, when we put our systems in the schools, we see those two primary use cases. One, we'll get a passionate teacher that wants to put it in the classroom. Mm. We have a full STEM curriculum that comes with every unit. Mm. So that includes lesson plans for teachers, everything from understanding how a plant grows to how your body processes nutrients, all that good stuff. And that comes with the unit. But oftentimes, we get a food service coordinator, a nutrition coordinator that'll poke his or her head in and be like, what are you growing? And can we put this on the lunch line? And that then translates to an interest in that regard. Hmm. These things are kind of like Legos. You can daisy chain them together and connect them all. So you can grow food at scale with a bunch of these units. And so we do actually have districts across the country that no longer buy their produce, their leafy greens from a Sysco or an Aramark. They're growing it all on site. Hmm. And what's more, the students in the school are the ones actually running the farms. So it's not an increase in work for the school nutrition coordinator. It's actually a value add for him or her in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, and you're creating more wisdom, if you will, with the students so that they can go on and continue in the space or continue to learn and grow. And that's what it's all about.
I mean, you wouldn't believe how many classrooms we've walked into and we ask little kids where food comes from. And you know that the most common answer is Quick Trip.
You know? And so, nothing wrong with that. That's great.
I love the Quick Trip food, of course. But it's like there's this connection that we can make for kids and growing food and having that better relationship.
I mean, farm to table isn't just a term. It's a reality.
Yeah, it is.
And the more that we know where our food is coming from, I think the better and healthier we can all be. Let's just really drill down locally. In Milwaukee and Wisconsin as a whole, if we were going to be truly in a position to lead as a fresh food innovator, what would it take? I mean, other than companies like yours, but is it resources? Is it access to this or access to that?
I mean, I think it's a lot of things. And I think in a lot of ways, Milwaukee is a leader in this space. In fact, I was just talking with Mayor Johnson about this last week. This is something where when we look at, we've got 86 of these flex farm units throughout MPS, more than any other district in the country.
Okay.
We're going to be launching here probably in the summertime, a large-scale farm that'll put hundreds of thousands of pounds of food into the Hunger Relief Network in Milwaukee. Mm. These are big things and puts Milwaukee in a position to sort of be the leader in creative ways for addressing food and nutrition insecurity, particularly in large cities. And I think that two things need to happen. One is that people need to understand that food and nutrition insecurity remains a significant problem in our country now more than ever. And what is required to start to address that is, of course, all the economic factors of jobs and economic growth and all that. But at the end of the day, there are always going to be people that are food insecure and nutrition insecure. So what systems need to be put in place to support those individuals?
And that responsibility falls on everyone, truly, right? Yeah. I mean, there's a nonprofit solution, there's a corporate solution, there is a governmental solution, right? And I'm guessing in terms of, you know, your day-to-day business, your clients and your end users, it's not just the consumers or the kids.
Right.
At the schools, you have corporate partners as well that are helping power this.
And that's been really the interesting thing in all of this is that we do have large companies that are coming to us saying, what can we do? How can we help? Mm-hmm. And even other municipalities. We have cities calling us saying, hey, we hear what you're doing in Milwaukee. How do we do it in Cleveland or Kansas City? And that is really heartening to me because I think people are looking at this as saying, look, we actually have a solution now that we could implement that can put food at scale into a hunger relief network and not not the sort of food that is leftover hand-me-down food. This is high quality, nutrient dense food. This is, in fact, better than what you can buy in a grocery store.
Yeah. You've been involved in a lot of different efforts. You mentioned your role at the Greater Milwaukee Committee. Mm-hmm. Milwaukee's entrepreneurial scene has really evolved, like a lot of communities over the last decade. Kind of from your vantage point now, kind of being inside a business and an innovative, almost still a startup, mm-hmm. right? What's getting better and what still needs attention?
I mean, I think about when I first got into this space, you know, I mean, I was still at UWM and at the GMC, and it was not a healthy space in Milwaukee as far as startups was concerned. There was just this sort of unfortunate, weird competition. That has, I think, gone by the wayside.
I would agree. I think there's a little bit more changed. Of a collaborator die mentality than there was
a decade ago. Yeah. That's my venture capital money, not yours right. sort of thing. It's we kind of have a rising tide lifts all boats sort of mentality now, I think. And I think that's the good part of it. I mean, I see from now working and I guess, you know, we kind of consider ourselves a startup or more like a scale-up. We're growing.
Right.
But the resources and the connections that people are willing to bring to bear, you know, we're supported by Titletown Tech and up in Green Bay. And people like Jill Enos and Craig Dickman and folks like that have gone above and beyond to help our companies and all the other companies that they support, but then also to create a community for all sorts of startups in Milwaukee, whether they're in their portfolio or not. And so I think we've kind of gone away from that weird sort of competition thing to how do we help each other out, you know? And a connection that I may make for you might not have immediate value to me, but down the road, it's going to come back to me tenfold. And I think that's the mentality that has shifted that is a very positive thing for the community.
Yeah, I agree. So looking forward to the governor's race, primary in August. Mm-hmm. Is there a platform or a legislative agenda item, if you will, as it pertains to fresh food and innovation that you would say, all right, candidate X or candidate Y, put this on your agenda because we need more visibility around this?
I say that food and healthy food might be the only nonpartisan issue when it comes to politics. And you know, I mean, you can say what you want about the MAHA movement and things like that, but some of the focus on removing ultra-processed foods and focusing on whole foods and fresh foods is positive no matter what how you vote, right? So I think that, you know, in terms of platforms and what our elected leaders can do, I think it's, you know, it always comes down to money and budgets, but I think it's also looking at what is working? What are the models that are working and how do we rinse and repeat those models? And I think that, you know, what we're standing up here in Milwaukee in a lot of ways is the model. And if we can, you know, convince our leaders who control the legislative agendas to funnel their support to just doing more of that, it's going to move the needle a lot faster.
Very good. Can we do a couple of quick fire things to round up our conversation?
All right. Let's do it.
Favorite restaurant in the area and why?
You're going to limit me to one?
I'm going to limit you to one.
Oh,
yes.
Man, Jeff. You know, I love Morel down in Walker's Point.
Right.
I just think that is...
fits your fresh food vibe.
It does. Yes, it does. And it's always good. Every time we go, it's just a fantastic meal.
If you had the magic Milwaukee wand, per se, and you could wave it in one wish, what would that be?
I'm gonna give a cop-out answer here, Jeff, so forgive me. But the answer would be that we just would have unlimited funds.
Resources.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's not as simple as saying that every problem can be solved with a check, but, you know, so much of what we've fought over, you know, has been lack of resources.
Yeah. Finally, Michael, define success.
I think for me, success is seeing that impact that I want to see. And it's different for everybody else. But for me, I want to see that I'm helping people. I want to see that change is occurring in a positive way. That, to me, is success.
Very good. You're listening to The Upswing. It's WTMJ. Appreciate your time, Michael Halstead.
Fork Farms,
all the best to you and the company. Moving forward, you're doing good things.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio by our good friend, Steve Glenn. Steve, thanks for taking time out of your day.
Thanks, Jeff. It's great to see everyone again.
Indeed.
Back in the old
space. Chief Milwaukee Officer, I'm always intrigued and inspired by your title at Experience Milwaukee.
It's my wife's idea. She came up with it.
All right. Yeah. So, well, when you look at kind of the story in your head right now in terms of where the city is and its arc.
Yeah.
From what are you thinking?
Perspective,
from a tech
overall,
perspective. Yeah.
So I'm more encouraged today than I was yesterday.
Okay.
And it's because I sat in virtually on the Northwestern Mutual's Data Science Institute's presentation today, kind of an update to the community.
Okay.
And what I was wondering could have been happening here in Milwaukee around tech and innovation and AI and the future for business and for people that need to get jobs in this area, seems like is on a good path. And I've been to a few other cities and I've noticed it's happening in other places and I wasn't sure here, and now I'm feel a little bit better today.
Yeah, well, I want to talk about that.
Yeah.
In a bit, because you're doing a bit of a city innovation tour, kind of touring different markets and seeing what you can learn there and bring them back to the hometown.
Yep.
So, but let's talk about your most recent endeavor, if you will. And I've always admired the risk and just the stuff that you've started in your career.
Thank you.
You worked with Wantable in Milwaukee's Walker's Point neighborhood to kind of reimagine the Wantable co-working cafe.
Yes.
And took a big risk there. What happened and kind of what did you learn through that process?
Yeah. So prior to the cafe experience, Milwaukee, the media company I own, and was at that point primarily a podcast about the city's culture.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to taking over operations of the Wantable Cafe, we had always dabbled or explored what business content or tech content could look like on the show. It's where my heart is, where my passion is. And what I learned in taking over the cafe is the tech community literally pulled us into the center of everything tech, innovation, startup in the city.
Yeah.
And so that was a surprise.
Okay. In a good way?
A great
way. Having a space for leaders to convene.
Correct.
Anchored your day-to-day business with a physical co-working model.
Yes.
Yeah.
And from the co-working during the day to the events at nights and weekends to just the way people were connecting and sharing ideas there, well worth the 100,000 plus I poured into that business.
Yes. So what did you learn in terms of how people want to work today in terms of co-working? You know, there's so much talk about return to office or work from home. Like, that narrative is always going to be there. But to have a third space, is that still something we want and need in Milwaukee?
Now more than ever. People really wanted to come together around what they were doing, building, seeing, learning, trying to learn in technology. And with the way things are happening today and how quickly things are happening today, it was a critical piece to the tech ecosystem to have a space where that could happen. Now, I also learned people in sort of the co-working mindset today really just want a place to hang out. Food is secondary.
Right. Yeah. So not as much revenue there.
Not as much revenue on the food side. But I'll say this. I didn't know what I was doing in food. I'll admit it. And I've heard so many more better ideas since we've closed the cafe on December 31st.
So what's next for that space? I mean, you started an innovation district in Walker's Point where Wantable is.
Yep.
Is that what's the future there, even if you're not a part of it?
Yeah, I think what I hope the future is for that space is as soon it becomes open again. I don't know if that will happen. Hmm. I would love if that would happen. And in a way that we could bring the tech community back to it.
Yeah.
But they know what they're doing over there at Wantable.
Yeah.
They've built a great business. And so I'm sure they'll make the right decisions on that. And we're ready to partner. And so are they.
Good bones. And we'll see where it goes next. Yeah. All right. So you were recently in Phoenix, Steve Glenn,
yes,
and spent some time there kind of working with leaders to see what the future of tech is on that level. What were two or three things that you saw in Phoenix maybe we can replicate in Milwaukee?
The thermometer was 74 in January.
All right. That's a good one. That's a good one.
There's really a connectedness of the – and so while I was there, I met with the CEO of Visit Phoenix, two founders, two investors, two community leaders, all in a couple of days, the Milwaukee Brewers, and got a behind-the-scenes tour of technology and baseball, and then spent a day kind of roaming, or a few days roaming to the different spaces in Phoenix. And so everywhere I went, everyone was synced on the vision for tech and innovation in Phoenix.
And where was that coming from? Was it coming from the entities that you talked to? Like, what? Why is everyone singing from the same playbook?
Yeah, it's interesting. It in this case, a great question, seems to be coming from the vision of the leaders.
Okay.
And so, but knowing what they have in the down to the grassroots community. And so working closely with the universities on talent development, on idea development, on how they're teaching young people to solve problems from their freshman year in college, all the way up to the startups and then to the corporate innovators and the corporations who are coming there. They're looking at tech 10 years out. And they're working with business to get there.
So it's really that alignment, that commitment, and even like a calm intensity that you see on different levels. Does that model replicate in Milwaukee, or does it just feel differently because you're simply out of your hometown?
I wasn't sure of the 10-year vision thing, or what are we doing now to prepare for 10 years from now? I saw glimpses of that happening on the call this morning that I was watching. So it's interesting. I think whatever we do here in Milwaukee has to be tailored to our strengths. Phoenix is certainly doing that to theirs.
Yeah. I mean, it's a mix of its tactics. I think it's mindset, and it's kind of how Milwaukee sees itself into the national innovation story.
Like, right.
We all have to be aligned around the same thing.
Absolutely.
And that there's a lot of wonderful people doing great work, but I think we need to continue to refine and sell
and come together.
Yeah. We're talking with Steve Glenn from Experience Milwaukee. Steve, when we get back, we are a couple days away from spring training. You, as we talked about, were in Phoenix, but I know you learned a lot about what the Brewers are doing on the technology side of the business. We'll talk about that when we come back. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, joined in studio by Steve Glenn, Chief Milwaukee Officer at Experience Milwaukee.
MATC grad. Proud.
All right.
Yes.
You rah-rah. MATC nickname of the teams?
The MATC mascot?
The mascot.
The Stormers?
The Stormers.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Come on.
Yes.
Come on, Jeff.
You
know, come on.
Yeah.
I'm on top of mind. I need to ask. I need to know these things. All right. So you were invited by the Brewers to go to Phoenix, talk about what they're doing on the technology side.
It's incredible.
American Family Fields. I always like saying fields.
There's seven and a half fields there.
That's right.
I thought it was going to be one.
What did they show you that really kind of changed your mind, Steve, about sports and tech? And like what we're all going to be able to continue to experience as fans in the ballpark?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. Purely from a tech perspective, it's really like sitting in plain sight. But we don't notice it. The number of cameras around the stadium and probably other devices that are tracking everything from ball movement and trajectory to like skeletal movement and how players are approaching the fly ball, the ground ball, it's incredible what they're tracking.
So from an organization standpoint, the amount of technology that goes into scouting is significant.
Scouting to literally, they have the ability in real time to correct motion with players.
Wow.
And so, I mean, think about that, right? The amount of data they're collecting And as far as I understand it, all the data goes to a central kind of repository that it – they want to have an even playing field for all the teams, right? And so at least in what's being captured in games that I see.
Yeah.
Now, behind the scenes – in practice,
how it's analyzed, how it's used, how it's
or
implemented.
In the batting cages,
yes,
whole different ball game, no pun intended.
Yes,
yeah.
So, what did you see in terms of like fan experience that they're sampling?
Yeah, so they're making like most places where there's a consumer end to it, making everything just faster and easier and more accessible. Certainly, they're always thinking about everything from where you park, to how you get in, how you get to your tickets, how you buy food and drink, where you sit, everything is being thoughtfully curated by the tech team and others at the Milwaukee Brewers.
Can you creatively blend the kind of return to office equaling a return to local?
Yeah.
Because I've heard you talk about that.
Yeah.
And when you think about live sports, it's all about return to space, right?
Yes.
You are there live. You can't not be there. You are a part of the experience. How does that translate in terms of what we do day to day?
Like return to office.
As workers.
So let me say this. It's not a judgment or a validation or any kind of vote on return to office or not. And when I say this, because I did get a lot of feedback on like, well, you shouldn't mandate people to come back to the office. All I was trying to say is, in any return to office situation, the spark locally is immediately felt. The impact is immediately felt, not just from the small businesses that are around an office building, and now you have density of workers coming back, but you just have people feeling and thinking differently about their local.
Yeah.
And like I said, we put up with winters here, right? We have some amazing companies here. If it's remote work, why are we putting up with winters?
That's right, yes.
That was an advantage to us to live here and go through the winters to have access to Northwestern Mutual, Milwaukee Tool, Harley Davidson. You can go down the list, right? And so when a company returns to office and if they say, we will now recommit to hiring locally, that is a return to local. And now the locals who live here and spend here and do all the things here, committed on boards and organizations, are now back in a more favorable position, I think.
Yeah, creating connections and collisions and really just looking to move the market forward. That's what it's all about.
Yep.
We're talking with Steve Glenn from Experience Milwaukee. Steve, I had Michael Halstead from Fork Farms before you. He says hello. Mm-hmm. You missed each other in the hallway. But I asked him for his favorite restaurant locally. I know you're out and about often, so part of the mantra and mission of the show, I want people to support local. Give us yours.
My favorite. Can I do three?
Yeah, sure.
All right. So I have to just, because I have context here. So,
all right.
Where I'm really digging, like sitting down and having a happy hour discussion with a few people and brainstorming about the city and other things over a Manhattan and some delicious, I think some of the best sliders in Milwaukee is the Edison.
Okay.
In Third Ward. Now, day to day, when I want to grab a pizza, you know what I'm going to say. I'm going to go to transfer.
All right. Yes.
And my secret spot
there.
My secret spot is Hidden Gem.
All right.
The Fox Den in Great Lakes Distillery.
Ah, interesting. All right. Yeah. Food there?
The Fox Den is the food.
Yeah. No.
I think some of the best smash patties.
Okay. All right.
In Milwaukee.
Very good.
So.
You
there's
heard
three
it there from you got, Steve Glenn.
You got three for one.
Gem, very good. And then I'm gonna ask you.
Is this like the rapid
magic
fire?
Yeah, it kind of is. Yeah. I haven't asked you the magic Milwaukee wand question in a while. But if I'm giving you the magic Milwaukee wand from a tech, an ecosystem, and business standpoint, you get one wish.
Yeah.
What are you asking for?
So I was recently asked this question with the addition of no budget. You can have unlimited budget.
Okay.
I would find a way to connect us to Detroit, Chicago, Madison, up to Green Bay, to the Twin Cities, where Milwaukee really can become that centerpiece of the wheel for all that's happening in tech and innovation in these cities and here. I really think Milwaukee has a potential to play that role of connecting all these entities, all these other cities, right? But we need a better way to get around to these cities.
Want to create the flywheel, you got to have the connections.
Correct.
What's next on your city innovation tour?
I'm really struggling with that one.
Right.
So I'm right now slated to go to Austin for South by Southwest.
All right.
I may or may not. I'm actually going to go back to Arizona in April for their first ever Tech Week, Arizona Tech Week.
Okay.
And then I was invited to come to Detroit for their Tech Week in May by their chief innovation officer for the state of Michigan.
Very good. Steve Glenn, Experience Milwaukee. Keep on building the city, finding ideas, and bringing them back.
Woo!
Finally, SOMO on the go. I love seeing innovation on the local real estate front, and it's happening in South Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Have you heard about this? This is super cool. I love the concept. Space Race. It's a storefront competition that's given entrepreneurs the chance to pitch their best business ideas for free lease in downtown South Milwaukee. You just go to southmilwaukee.gov. Bunch of videos are focused on local business ideas. You watch them, you rate them, give your honest reaction, and then they're going to pick the winners for space right on Milwaukee Avenue. Both of these sites were former bars, so the city administrator is saying, all right, we want maybe a little bit more innovation in terms of business in these spots. So the winners get $30,000 to cover first-year rent costs. Like, this is a super creative way to look at building entrepreneurial ecosystems in a business district that needs innovation. All business districts need innovation, right? Kudos to South Milwaukee. Check out southmilwaukee.gov, place your vote, and get down to Milwaukee Avenue and see all that's new in one of our great communities.